The Gospel from John 12, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies and bears much fruit, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning again, everyone. I'm Caitlin Blend, the Associate Director at Bear Creek Camp. And camp is the most magical place on earth where all dreams come true. Now, Disney may have stolen that official slogan, but it's still true for us and personally true for me. I grew up in North Dakota, where I attended a camp my whole childhood. In eighth grade, it was there that I was introduced to the group of people that are my best friends today. I still have the embarrassing peace sign photos to prove it. In college, I chose to go back to that camp every summer and work as a summer camp counselor. Throughout that time, I met my spouse, Carter, who was the funny counselor who played guitar. Now, Carter is the funny dad who plays guitar for our 10-month-old. That journey and love for camp led me to become a director, and all of that led me here today to visit with you, which is one of my favorite parts of being a camp director. So when I say I live and breathe camp, that is the gospel truth. So it's a little complicated today when I come from a place filled with joy and life to be reflecting on this text, a reading where Jesus predicts his own death. But more than that, he talks about how we are supposed to hate our life to gain eternal life. And I don't know about you, but I really like my life. I love slow mornings playing with my son, taking trips to coffee shops and bookstores with Carter, hiking through the forest, being in my office and doing staff interviews, taking trips around the world. I really, really love my life. So when I read this gospel and it says, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life, I really want to say, hey, Jesus, awesome offer, but no thanks. I'm good. Now, I'll admit that this is where I started this gospel for a week and had no idea what I would preach about. I read it, and I read it. Thanks, Pastor Keith, for picking this date. And I typed a really bad sermon, so whatever you think about this one, I promise it's a lot better than what you almost got. And last night in my writing slump, I had to take a break and just play with my son. And he just started walking. So this is what happens. He stands up, and he has the biggest smile on his face that shows exactly two bottom teeth. And he, like, stumble walks with arms wide open up in the air. And he either looks at myself or Carter, and we swoop him up, and we say, "You did it." And then we give him about 70 kisses. And this is where I found a new perspective. on the gospel. I love my life so much, but I am positive I love my son's life more. So I wonder if this reading is instead an invitation, not necessarily to truly hate your own life, but to love others and to love God more. From the beginning, Jesus has asked us to be together, to be community, to be family. And when we love one another and love God, possibly more than we love ourselves, that is where life becomes eternal. Jesus loved our lives more than he loved his own, and because of that, we were given eternal life. So I want you to take a few seconds and think about the people that you love the very most in life. Maybe it is your children, your partner, your parents, your siblings, your extended relatives, your best friend, your pet, your students, that barista that makes your coffee really good. These are the kinds of love that fill your soul, aren't they? And I don't know about you, but when I think about the love I have for my little family, I would stop at basically nothing to do anything for them. So that's a pretty easy example to love them more than I love myself. But what about for the people that aren't that close? Like a distant friend, an acquaintance, a stranger, or biblically speaking, a neighbor. If only there were other places in this world like this church that could help us love our neighbor and share this good news. Bum, bum, bum. Bear Creek Camp. Another place where I truly believe individuals are always thinking about one another and opening that big type of love that God gave into this world. This love that Jesus is asking us to have for others. And I see this first with our summer staff. So I get to interview nearly 30 young adults every spring as they sign up to spend their summer on our property. Well, they will also get a lot of fun and a paycheck out of it. 100% of the time in the interviews, these amazing humans always say they want to come to camp to give back, to care for kids, and to share God's love. And they do that. They spend all summer planning activities, caring for the needs of kids, and helping create some of the best memories that these kids will experience throughout their whole summer and maybe their whole year. I am certain that through every single silly song, every life lesson, and every encouragement that they give to campers, they glorify God. The campers. All summer, kids ages 7 through 18 come to camp, and they would probably say that they come for the fun experiences, hiking, swimming and kayaking, climbing on the high ropes, spending time with friends, and so on. But what I see on a daily basis are people interacting with others who are not like themselves. Our campers come from small towns and downtown Philly. We have lifelong Lutherans and kids who hear the name Jesus for the very first time at camp. We have people from all different backgrounds and beliefs that maybe wouldn't be friends in the outside world, but because they are in the God-filled space that is camp, they are crazy about each other, most of the time. Our campers glorify God with every question, every new handshake, and every giggle. And now let me take a second to brag about Pastor Keith, who very quickly became one of my favorite volunteers at camp. I love the campers and staff so much at Bear Creek Camp, and I am incredibly protective of them. I am the mama bear at Bear Creek Camp. And last summer, Pastor Keith was a chaplain for the week, and in every conversation, every hike with a cabin and every meal, he glorified God. And I know that every second he spent at camp was for the people there, and we can't wait to have you back. And you all, this congregation and every congregation that supports Bear Creek Camp. Some of you may have never been to camp, but you maybe hear or see the very kids or your staff who adore it. Your support, your monetary gifts, your prayers, your thoughts for each camper and staff member are something that we feel all summer long. So thank you. So with all of that said, I am not so sure that Jesus is asking us to hate our lives, but instead asking us to love others. And I think places like this church and camp are a great place to start. And I wonder if we should focus more on the beginning of the reading, where it says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Perhaps when we keep demanding that, wishing to see Jesus, we will keep finding him. When we say we wish to see Jesus and look around, we'll keep finding him among the church, the camp, the pews, the trees, the hymnals, the songboards, the people. And together, may we love one another the way Jesus loved others. May we glorify God in this church and at camp and in all spaces, now and forever. And may we keep finding Jesus. Amen.